Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
The line between killer and hero is thinner than you think. You're listening to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
The Menendez brothers, they could be free by the holidays. Judge in November set to sit down and talk about what could happen next. Maybe a new ruling on their sentencing. It may be a ruling that says you served your time, go live the rest of your life. It could be you're staying in, buddies. Sorry. We just don't know the answer to that yet. His family outside of an LA courthouse just this last week pleading for the judge to be sensible on this. We're in a different place in time. We're in a place that we should have been all those years ago, 30 years ago, where we did recognize sexual abuse of young boys. But unfortunately, back then, it wasn't quite that way. Joining me to discuss, Robin Dreek, retired FBI Special Agency for the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. It really is shocking. I got a chance to watch the Menendez documentary on Netflix the other night that showed both Lyle and Eric talking about their experiences. I found it to be very compelling, very authentic. They have nothing to lose. They're just telling their story. And their story really, it hasn't changed since they opened up about the abuse all those years ago and more people coming to their defense saying, yeah, Jose was kind of like this. What do you think about this? Is it time that that we recognized what really went on here and took a look at it from, I guess, I would almost say more civilized glasses than we were even 30 years ago and recognizing the effects that sexual abuse on young boys can have, which could very easily include murdering your abusers?
You hit it right on the head there, Tony. You know, I was thinking about this exact same thing that you said, and that really impacted me back then. Because 30 years ago, I mean, just think about this. Because this is what made me think about this. So thinking about 30 years ago, this is a time period when you couldn't even imagine, because I remember hearing about this case and getting caught up in the same rhetoric of guys don't sexually assault or abuse other guys.
Surprise! And,
you know, exactly, right? Because remember, this is a time period in which Ellen and her sitcom got canceled because she said she was gay.
Yeah.
That was like can you imagine on TV today, someone having a show canceled because they said they were gay?
And I want you to continue, but another point to make on that moment in time, people looked at people who were gay almost as negatively as they look at predators, child predators, which is insane. But that is how people correlated these sort of things back then. It was messed up, but that is how society was as a whole. Please continue.
And so when you took that, as I remember this at the time, I remember saying the same thing to myself, was like, that's weird, because you didn't hear about it. Again, was the news never put out there about male-on-male sexual abuse, especially father-on-son sexual abuse. It was like it was a massive data point. You know, we talk about behavior arcs in society. That was such a blip. And then the other thing that the press was putting out back then was the wealth. You know, they showed the motive that everyone else saw was, or they wanted a spending spree. So when you put those two things together at the society at the time, they looked guilty. It looked like it was a horrendous thing that the boys did. But when you fast forward to 30 years where people are more understanding, there's a lot more empathy to see the world through someone else's context and lens. There's a lot more ability to do that because we do, you know, for all the downfalls that we suffer as a society because of social media and way too much information, it actually helps in things like this, where I really am thinking that they will finally get some justice on their side as well, that they were abused. And whereas they made a choice they shouldn't have made, you should never, you know, they have to have accountability for taking a life. But I think they've done their time.
Why do you think society was so hard on them at that moment in time? Was it the jealousy of the wealth? I mean, people get real petty when it comes to that sort of stuff. I don't have that. I mean, inside their mind, they have that. well, screw what they went through. Or also, I think maybe look at all the wealth that they have. And, well, you know, men internalizing, going, I went through some stuff. I've been a man enough. I got through it. You know, and these two, you know, they lost it. That very much a weird way of looking at victims, but it is kind of a way that I think some of society, I think a lot of society back then, did view this sort of stuff also out of weird ways of jealousy of things they don't have themselves, and then almost like, well, they deserve what they got. You know, that's sort of a thinking.
It's you know, the image that popped in my mind as you're describing that is, you know, kind of goes into the, everything we've been talking about in the last couple of cases, is this whole groupthink that we have as a society and how it keeps moving and transitioning because we're in the middle of it. So remember, so this is the 70s and 80s time frame. We're coming out of the what I call the Leave It to Beaver world, where right post World War II, when TV started becoming a lot more popular and shows are put out there, and what the shows and imagery that was put out there was that the standard healthy American family was a husband, a wife, the I Love Lucy, you slept in two separate beds, and you had the perfect children, and there was none of these horrendous things going on in the world. And so when you saw horrendous things that happen, it couldn't be the perfect father image. It had to be the bad boys. It had to be this money-driven thing. So it's easy to see the imagery of the time period that created the negative confirmation bias against the boys. Mm-hmm. But because we don't have that same kind of confirmation bias now, it's easier to do that. I mean, yeah. Again, when you look at Law and Order evolves over the time.
Yeah.
Going back to our Salem witch trial time that we were just referencing on the other case, you know, there was a time in our history when that was the way in which we dealt with people that we were doing things we didn't understand. So you must be a witch, so we're going to burn you at the stake. Mm-hmm. That was Law and Order.
Yeah, very simplistic way of looking at things, too, where it's like, it's not this, it must be that. And that's just how we went.
I think because the case stood out and the behaviors they did and that they accused the father of doing stood so far out of the norm for the time that was known, because this became a public trial. You know, became very public. And since the public hadn't seen anything like this, now, again, the prosecutors, investigators, defense attorneys, they probably have seen things like this back at the time, because what we do as a society doesn't really change. You know, the criminal behavior that we've done in psychopaths, they've always been around. They've always done those things. They've either killed people with knives, guns, or whatever was available to them. But this behavior probably wasn't any different than had been seen before, but it was different from what the public had seen.
Yeah.
And it was more of a public case. So it was the first time the public's veil of innocence, I think, was being let down.
Yeah.
And they were seeing things like this for the very first time. And it struck them as crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, when the Challenger exploded, I just got done reading the Challenger book. Yeah. You know, it was such a mind shock, 9/11, such a mind shock. The first time you see something, your mind can't really wrap around. And I think that was part of the case of why this happened the way it did.
Yeah, your mind tries to find reasons and not really accept the extremeness. And that's where you get conspiracies and all that. It's trying to cope, trying to understand, trying to be at peace with the reality at which we live in. Fascinating.
And we as a society had just never seen a father or heard of a father sexually abusing their boys.
Yeah.
It just didn't fit anything. So when you have so far deviating from that norm, it must be the boys. They're lying.
And it wasn't that it was new. It's just that we started to hear about it. We hear about it every single week now, multiple times over. Just imagine all those years of all those people where it was never found out. I mean, it was there.
You know, being a glass half full kind of guy, as I always am, I think the sacrifice of those boys for that case probably helped others later on.
Yeah. I would agree. I think there is a silver lining to this. And I'm hoping if they do get out, I mean, they can be very, very powerful voices on this topic. And I hope that they're able, I mean, it's their life. I mean, they've been in prison. They've served their time. They can do whatever they want. They want to go to an island and disappear, go to an island and disappear. But if they want to do some more work, if they want to have more of a purpose and give back, I could totally see that being very powerful going out and advocating for this, because there's so many.
Absolutely. Reasons. I mean, the ability for them to be advocates for victims of this was tremendous.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
All right, true crime addicts, let's cut the crap. You're knee-deep in the gory details of your favorite podcast when suddenly a commercial hits like a bad meal. Seriously? You deserve better. Upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where you can binge without those annoying ads. Plus, get extended interviews that go deeper into the darkness and early access to episodes so you can be the first to know. It's like trading up from fast food to fine dining, but with more blood. So, go ahead, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and feast on the good stuff.